The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
We are rolling through another day of the business news broadcast. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us. With us in studio on a return visit, and we promised her several months ago that we would have her back, and we're so pleased to welcome Katie Fergus back. Katie is a medical billing specialist. She's also a CPA, and her world revolves around making sure that folks get paid, right?
That is correct.
And you get paid.
I'm finally getting a paycheck, yes.
Right, there you go. So you have just, if I understand, let's go back a little ways. Your specialty is in medical billing, right?
My specialty is medical health care finances in general. So whether it's revenue or expenses, getting the revenue to maximize and reducing your reducing the provider's expenses.
So helping providers manage their billing systems.
Correct. Yes.
Got it. And when you were with us the last time, we had a lot of conversation about the managed care systems here in Medicare in the state. And then you just went out and bought another company.
Yes, I did.
What happened? What was that about?
July 1, I officially became owner of Medical Billing Services. It's on 500 East Court Avenue in the East Village in Des Moines. And 14 employees now. Yep, I went from one employee to a plus 14, so I guess I have 15 employees now.
Including you.
Yes. So I still have my finance synergy, which is my consulting side of the company, which works directly with the medical providers and maximize doing the CFO type of role to analyze their revenues, expenses, kind of that role that they can't afford a full-time person for. And now the medical billing side of my business, medical billing services, it's actually a completely separate business. It was in my five-year plan. It ended up in my five-month plan.
Why not? What the heck?
Yeah. You know, it's the trajectory there came kind of very, very steep. But
all right, so let's go back to the consulting business first. That was what got you started. And this is a way where medical professionals can enlist your help because they don't have the resources or the staff to be able to analyze what they're doing well or maybe could improve on when it comes to billing, right?
Correct. One example of that would be in the Iowa legislature this spring, the DHS budget cut primary care providers reimbursement. So they had an enhanced payment plan that the primary care providers were getting, and that has now been eliminated. And by doing so, it cut about 25% of their payment. So if you went in...
So if you're getting $100 for something, now you're getting $75.
Correct. Yeah. So the example would be 68 to 43, but 68... Just this.
Okay.
Technical,
I'll trust you.
But yes. Yeah. And just helping them manage those cuts or making them even aware of those cuts because...
Are some people not aware of them?
It's effective July 1. And so a lot of those payments haven't started rolling in. So that affects all the Medicaid payments. And
so what if you're counting on 25% more income than as you build that stuff?
Well,
and
you'll start calling your billing company and saying, why aren't we getting what we were supposed to be getting?
And
why aren't our payments
lining
up with prior month payments?
And who cut that payment? State of Iowa?
The state of Iowa legislature, as part of their DHS spending bill,
got it.
Reduced Medicaid proportionately. And then they also, for Medicare crossovers, capped the reimbursement at the Medicaid rates. So if Medicare actually pays more than Medicaid,
it won't pay anymore.
No.
Okay.
So for all the individuals with Medicaid as secondary after Medicare, that it hurts the provider. It's not going to hurt your patients. Your patients will get the same care.
Should get the same care.
But the providers really are going to have their checkbooks hurting.
Okay. So, all right. Let me just come back on that for just a moment. Would it be then in the provider's best interests to see more patients in a half an hour?
One would think so.
I mean, what are we going to do?
And so I was just talking to a gentleman in the lobby, and he said he's noticed that a lot of physicians are adding scribes to their practices. So a scribe comes in and does kind of the transcription work for them as they sit there and do their exam with you. That helps them speed up and get so that essentially they don't have to dictate and get their notes out.
Sure.
So they can blow through more patients in an appropriate, you know, in shorter time.
Got it.
That's one way, but that's a completely sunk cost. You know, the electronic health records, you know, clicking and signing off on their op notes, operation notes, and on their daily notes, sometimes it is just taking longer than it used to.
Katie Fergus, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to her about one side of the business where she deals with medical billing in individuals, clinics and physicians and the like, when they get surprised sometimes with regard to them not collecting what they should. And so who does this affect? I mean, you know, some people are going to sit there and they're going to go, oh, those poor doctors, you know, they're just not going to make as much money as they did before. Tough bounce. But wouldn't this be something that might affect patients too?
Yes. I would say there's a trickle-down effect.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the strategies, and I don't advise this strategy, but it's a strategy that's out there, is actually limiting the number of Medicaid patients that physicians see.
It's
never a written policy, but you hear about it from time to time. Again, that's nothing I would advise to anyone because those are the people who need to be seen.
But the good news is if the Senate bill goes through and Medicaid gets cut to the bone, then we won't have to worry about any of that.
That is true.
Forget about it.
And then we just go to a whole private pay, direct pay system.
Right.
And, you know, that's something I might champion here in the next few years. But I have to figure out how to deal with the lower end of the socioeconomic population.
I think you are one of the brightest, nicest people on the planet, Katie Fergus, and I'm so grateful that you agreed to come back and talk to us about your business. I think that is really fascinating. I don't think people realize that medical care is actually a business, okay, and that there are strategies to help maximize that business, just like there are if you're selling hammers, for crying out loud.
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
One of the things I do a lot is I compare fee schedules between the commercial payers. So I look at that and I use it to negotiate with the payers and find the best match for that particular medical group, saying, you know, you should be in network with this payer and consider dropping your network status from this payer altogether.
Oh. And doesn't that get the attention of the payers?
It does. Uh-huh. It does. Sometimes, you know, they'll wine and dine you. Sometimes they'll say goodbye.
Oh.
I mean, it's just depending on, you know, locally, Wellmark and United Healthcare kind of dominate the market.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Your Coventry's are starting to come in. Coventry and Aetna is starting to come in at a higher percentage. They're the ones that are kind of difficult to work with. They have longer hold times for the providers. I mean, there's a laundry list of items that it's not just money. It's also time, and time equals money. So if your nurses are on hold, that's their time.
Yeah, right.
I mean, your registered nurses are expensive.
Again, another fascinating discussion with Katie Fergus, ladies and gentlemen, about the business of healthcare and healthcare delivery. You know, when you're sick or you just want to go in for a checkup, you don't really realize all the back stuff that's going on here. And I think this is really some telling stuff. Okay, so that's the consulting part of what you do. And then you decided to go full in and do the medical billing yourself. I mean,
shout out to my husband, Patrick, on that one. Thank you.
Oh, okay. The spousal units did help. So what does that mean? What is a medical billing company? What do you guys do?
So what we do is a lot of our clients are small practices.
Okay.
So they may have 3 doctors in the office and maybe a nurse. They don't, and they might have a receptionist there too, but what they don't want to do is they don't want the bureaucracy of figuring out what codes need to go with what code and what modifiers need to be put on a claim so that it pays correctly, and then chase the money if it doesn't pay correctly or if the claim denies. And so we have the technology that scrubs their notes, usually electronic notes. We Our office is fairly paperless. We scan everything that's on paper and make it available for our billers so that it's on.
And then so you're looking at all this stuff, and then you are dealing with the insurance companies.
Correct. It is our staff. So we have about 9 billers on staff. And they are the ones calling the insurance companies. They're the ones calling the patients. They're sending out your statements or your electronic statements. You're making payment plans for us as patients. And they're also working on behalf of the provider to make sure that the monies are getting in.
Get there.
Correct.
Okay. Last time you were with us, we were talking about the new three companies that are for-profit here in the state of Iowa. And you weren't very complimentary on some of the issues that you're seeing. And now you have decided to throw in and deal with these individuals directly, as you're attempting to collect payments for your clients.
Correct.
So how's it going there, kid? It's only been since July 1, right?
Yes, yeah. I've been owner of the medical billing company since July 1, yes.
What could go wrong in a month?
I hope not much. You know, I'll see after I do my own financials in August, you know, when I close July. But, you know, as I said last time I was on, things are getting better. But I would say, honestly, in talking to the providers, they still are very frustrated with the bureaucracy of Medicaid, of the Medicaid MCOs. Because of, again, it's the hold times. It's all these commercial payer regulations that they're forcing upon.
And they're different, aren't they?
They're different. They have to get so many more authorizations. Yeah. So again, it's staff time. So there's a lot of staff time that maybe you have to get a prior authorization for a procedure that Iowa Medicaid, when it was a one-payer system, would consider covered. And now you have to get a prior authorization to do that same procedure.
Got it.
Or if it's physical
therapy. Just more time.
More time, mm-hmm. You know, or more documentation. So physical therapy might be an example where you have to get an extended authorization after X number of visits versus the one-payer system you didn't. They still had to document, but you didn't have to get call every 10 visits or every 20
visits. So you were with us about 5 or 6 months ago when we were first talking about all of this, and we spent a lot of time on the managed MCOs. And now that you're into the billing system, you're really into the billing system, that would be interesting to watch. But you say things are getting a bit better.
Okay. Yes, I still think there are.
On the scale from 1 to 10, are we 2-bit better?
You know, the MCOs themselves are having turnover.
Oh.
And so it's getting.
So new people.
New people. I mean, and you see that they get burned out. They're claiming they're not getting their money from the state, and they're, you know, closed door negotiations right now. And Governor Reynolds is trying not to give them more money. And I give her credit for that. And she really shouldn't give them more money. In my opinion, they need to step up, take their losses and do their jobs.
Right.
You know, there was a
That's
purpose.
What business is, isn't it?
Yes. And there is a good side to it. There would be a good side to commercializing Medicaid, to making it a privatized Medicaid, if they did it properly. You know, if they invested that extra time up front and they just didn't.
Well, one of the things that didn't happen necessarily with the switchover on April 1st of last year was a lot of time going into the study about this.
Oh, right.
Who knew that healthcare would be so difficult?
I knew. They didn't ask me. I know.
And allegedly, they didn't ask many people.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Kind of interesting. I just had a conversation with a former person in this field. Her name's Andy McGuire, as a matter of fact. Happens to be running, I believe, for governor. And she is an expert, apparently, has experience in all of this stuff. And we started that conversation. And she says, they didn't ask me either.
So,
who knows? Thank you, Kate, and congratulations
Thank
on the
you.
New business.
Thank you.
Come back in 6 months, and after August, anyway.
Yeah, and tell maybe I'll own another business by then.
Exactly. Yeah, and in the East Village. So we will have all the links to your various companies and all the stuff. And congratulations.
Thank
I really
you.
Mean that. It's wonderful to see smart people really doing well. And Katie Fergus, CPA, by the way, which means she is really smart, is doing that. And so congratulations.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Katie Fergus, ladies and gentlemen. What's the name of the business? We didn't even talk about it.
Medical Billing Services.
Oh, that was tough.
Yes. we may be rebranding over the next 6 months.
Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. A name that actually identifies what it is, unlike Google and Alphabet.
That is correct.
Yeah, what in the world is that about? All right. We've got to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. That is coming up next here on the Business News Hour.
Sat out on your steps, waiting for 3 hours.